At age 28, Lorder Nordstrom had left his home in Sweden for America, looking for land to buy. Months later, while crossing down through southern Missouri, he found a large tract of good, rich land with plenty of natural springs, just right for a dairy farm. After he had cleared an area for his farm, he placed an ad in the Swedish American newspapers for young farmers to come and start a new community, and soon others joined him, bringing their families and farm animals with them. By 1880, a small farming community had formed that other people in the area called Swedetown, in spite of the fact that two Germans and one Norwegian, who was suspected of being Finnish, now lived there. Today, Lorder Nordstrom stood on the top of a small hill, looking over the long expanse of rolling green meadows and little white farmhouses below. It was so quiet and peaceful up here, nothing but the sound of birds and distant cowbells. He could see there was a most pleasant view from every angle, exactly what he had been looking for. He would donate this land to the community and name it Still Meadows. Walking back down the hill, Lorder felt very pleased with himself. As the original settler, he felt a great responsibility to the settlers who had come after him. And he had just found the perfect spot for their final resting place in the upcoming years. In the following weeks, Lorder and all the local men cleared the land on the hill and began measuring and blocking out rows of burial plots. Each plot was given a number, written in both Swedish and English, so there would be no confusion. They built a nice wooden arch as an entrance that was carved with flowers and read Still Meadows Cemetery, 1889. After all the landscaping was complete, Lorder called a meeting out at his farm and announced that since they were all first settlers, their plots would be free. First come, first served, which seemed to Lorder the only fair way to do it. In the future, any newcomers would be charged 50 cents a plot. The following Sunday, all the families packed up their wagons and went up the hill to stake their claim with small sticks. Some, like the Swensons, who hoped to start a large family, staked out an entire row of 20 or more plots to provide for the ones already here and those yet to come. Bertie Swenson was very happy with their choice. She was quite musical and liked hearing the birds and cowbells in the distance. She liked the view as well. She said to her husband, "Look, Lars, you can see our farm and a windmill from here. It will be so nice for the children when they come to visit." Mr. and Mrs. Henry Knott wanted to look back at the cornfields. Although the flat area on the top of the hill was rather large, and they could have spread around, most people are creatures of habit. They all tended to pick out spots right next to their neighbors, much as they lived below. Lorder in the middle, under the big oak tree, and everyone else around him. Everybody, that is, except Old Man Henderson, who marched way over to the other side and stuck his stick there. Someone once said that Eustace Henderson liked his mules better than he did people, and he had agreed. "Mules are mean, but at least they don't talk your head off when you see them." Later, after everyone had chosen a plot, they sat down for a picnic lunch. Blueberries were in season, so the ladies had made pies. Mr. Lindquist played his fiddle, and Mrs. Knott played her accordion. All in all, it was a fun afternoon. Of course, at the time, None of them knew about all the strange and mysterious events that would take place on that hill. And even if you had told them, they wouldn't have believed you in a million years.